If you didn't get your questions in, you can text them in this week at any time, and we will do our best to get those answered if it's one-on-one or if it's here on a Sunday or if it's a video or whatever like that. But we have questions. I'm so glad that everyone's here today. I'm so glad that y'all didn't, like, hear us. Yeah, you can clap for that. I'm glad you're here. Absolutely. And I, quite frankly, I'm kind of relieved that you didn't come in and we were reading the Bible and go, oh, forget this, and walk out. I'm really glad you didn't do that. I'm serious. I'm really glad you didn't do that. There's a reason why churches don't do that, because people walk out. Thank you for not doing that. Absolutely. We have some questions. What are our questions? Let's get our first question here. I have that it's what or who is the Nicolaitans? Nicolaitans? Nicolaitans, how I've always said it. Who are the Nicolaitans? We read about them in Revelations 2. And there were two separate churches that despised the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So who are they? Here's the simple answer. We don't really know for sure. Don't you love question answers like that? Next question. No. We have an understanding, but the Bible never clearly tells us. So to get this answer, we kind of have to look into the context of the location of those churches. And we kind of have to look in the context of the time period. And we look at that and we find this. There are a lot of theories on this. One of them is that a guy named Nicholas in Acts chapter 6, there's a guy named Nicholas that it says that he is a proselyte that has converted to Christianity. What does that mean? That means that he's converted not just once but twice. He's converted from paganism and he's proselyted to Judaism. So he went from paganism to Judaism, and then from Judaism he fully embraced Christ and became a Christian. So this is what scholars say. By the way, I'm really sorry, Nicholas, if you're somewhere and this is not true, because they kind of dog you. They say that Nicholas was the founder of this Nicolaitan teaching, and that he embraced not only Christianity, but Judaism and paganism, and he brought them all together and made like one melting pot full of compromise of the Christian faith. That's what scholars think. Now, we're not 100%, nor are we definitely 100% that it's the Nicholas in Acts chapter 6, but there's a very good chance that when it talks about Nicolaitans, it is talking about compromise from things that are true to other things. To embrace not only the doctrine of Jesus, but to also embrace another religion or another God. You cannot collect Jesus on a keychain. You can't collect him and say, all right, I've got this one, Jesus, and I got this one, and that's the name of another God, and this one, a name of another God, and this one, you can't do that. And there's a belief that that is what the Nicolaitans are. So we despise that teaching too. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Not my words, his words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So I hope that answers your question. That's a great question. Another question is, who are the 24 elders? Who are the 24 elders? It's a great question. Once again, I can't tell you exactly if this is 100% true. I really believe it's 100% true. So take that for what it's worth. By the way, if you notice at the end of chapter 1 of Revelation, it told you what the stars and the lampstands are. Yeah. Do you remember that? I'm 100% certain of what the stars and the lampstands are because the Bible tells us what they are, right? It doesn't exactly tell us what the 24 elders are. So I'm not saying that this is gospel truth. You can take this to the bank. But this is what I believe. The 24 elders appear in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, and they show up later in the book of Revelations. And they are always around what? The throne. They're always surrounding the throne. Here's what I believe they are. I believe you've got Israel, which is typified by what number? 12, because there are 12 tribes. And then you've got the disciples, the church, and they're typified by what number? 12. I want to give you this picture of what I believe the 24 elders are. I believe that it is Israel and the church all together, no longer being separated, like here you are and here you are, but we're all together worshiping the one who saved us, worshiping the one who created us, worshiping the one who's called us out of darkness. We are all together as the 24 elders, and we are all together ruling with the Lord. It says that we have thrones with him, that there is one throne, but we also have thrones and we also have crowns. So I believe that the 24 elders are the 12 tribes, Israel, and the 12 disciples, the church. And we're all together worshiping the Lord Jesus around his throne. Do you like that answer? I hope you like that answer. All right, our next question is, who are the four living creatures? Who are the four living creatures? Can anyone tell me what the four living creatures are? Describe them real quick. We read it. Flying eagle. A human. Lion. An ox. An ox. There it is. And no, Jay Dykes, it's an eagle, not a Kansas Rock Chalk Jayhawk. She's a huge Kansas City fan. Kansas fan. All right. Sorry, that was just for you. All right. So who are the four living creatures? I grew up all my life being taught that the four living creatures represented the four gospels. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that's it. But they would say that they represent the four gospels because in Ezekiel, it talks further about the four living creatures in the book of Ezekiel, by the way. And it says that they're all together, side by side. Their wings are out and touching each other. And wherever one of them goes, they all go, and they're in perfect unity. And that caused a lot of scholars early on to believe that that was the four gospels, because they are just together in unity. And wherever they go, they're all in agreement. And I believe that most of my life. Here's what I believe they are now. The four living creatures. We talked about the four things that are the man, the eagle, the lion, and the ox. This is not in your Bible, but it is in Jewish history. It's in the Talmud, which is an extra writing of history and oral tradition by Israel. And it talks about the nation of Israel that had specific orders. Now, this is in your Bible. That they were to camp a certain way. That here is the temple, the tabernacle, rather. And that they are supposed to camp three on this side, three tribes on this side, three tribes on this side, three tribes on this side. When you put those all together, it equals 12 tribes. But also equals four groupings of the 12 tribes. And these four groupings had standards. They had, another way to say that is flags or banners with pictures on them. What do you think the four pictures were? A man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Right there. So this ties in together with the understanding of all of Israel and all of the churches surrounding, we're encamped around the throne. So that means that everything in the Old Testament, that wasn't just, I'm going to make you do stuff because I'm God. It was painting a picture of eternity. When he's telling them what to do in the Old Testament, he is in his mind painting a picture of what is going to be in heaven. Not only that, there is deep symbolism of the four creatures. And I won't go so far into it because we're running short on time, but it represents this. The four things represent everything Israel was to be to the world. We were supposed to be humanity. We were supposed to be the lion. We were supposed to rule this world, but we were also supposed to be an ox. We were supposed to be the servant. And so those four things represent everything Israel was supposed to be to the world, but ultimately failed at. And church, we fell at them too. But they're also pictures of who Jesus Christ is. Christ says, okay, Israel and the church, you failed at this, but let me show you how it's done. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is the Son of Man, and he is the ox, which is the servant, and also the ox, what is used in sacrifice. And so when we are talking about the four living creatures, it is the face of what Jesus is, and it is also finally the realization of what we were always supposed to be to this world. And we are around his throne. And what happens to his throne? He takes his throne and he brings it down to earth. It's not enough for his throne to be in heaven. He's bringing his throne down to earth with the 24 elders and with the four living creatures. And now we see the fullness of who Jesus is. But not just seeing the fullness of Jesus, we are seeing the fullness of who we were always meant to be. That's the four living creatures. All right, that's my answer on that. All right, and I got one more text. We'll try to answer this one real quick. What is the seven spirits of God? All right, so what is up with that? Why are there seven spirits of God, right? Also, I'll add this to this. Why are there seven churches? Is one of them Baptist, and we have to figure out what that is, and one of them's Methodist? And No. Let me make this really simple. The Bible tells us very clearly that there is one Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us there's one Spirit. God is one, and he is one Spirit. Okay? Also, God has one body, the church, not seven. Okay? All right? Y'all cool with that? There are some crazy doctrines out there that have said God has seven spirits and we need to pray to each one of the spirits separately, and that there are seven churches. And so, no. God has one church. He bought them. They're blood bought by his son Jesus, and he has one spirit. However, what are the seven spirits? There is a scripture. Number one, we got the number seven, right? And the number seven represents God in many ways. It represents the number of completion. The world was created in how many days? Seven. On that seventh day, it was completed and he rested, right? So the number seven represents completion. So it could be the complete spirit of God. But there is also a place in your Bible. I want to say that it is in Isaiah. Here it is. Isaiah 11 and 2. Could we pull up Isaiah 11 and 2 real quick and show that to everyone? Who has the seven spirits of God? It could be referencing Isaiah 11 and 2. And our good friend Scott, he's pulling that up. Just one second. Here it is. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, count with me, and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. That's six. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Is there one more? Is that six? Am I missing something here? Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is one. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of power, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of fear of the Lord. So together that makes seven. It could be referencing that. But I encourage you to not believe that there are seven spirits and somehow you get to heaven and God has like seven heads and is like something out of a Wes Craven movie or something, or David Lynch or something. All right. Those were our questions, and if we get more, we'll definitely answer them. Thank you so much for being here today. I know this was different, but I think the Church of Jesus Christ should be a little different.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com, and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.